This is Worldview on WBEZ. I'm Jerome McDonnell. One of the biggest applause lines last night at the State of the Union address was Congress's enthusiastic support of U.S. fossil fuel production.
We have unleashed a revolution in American energy. The United States is now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world.
The U.S. has long pursued something referred to as energy independence. Now the Trump administration is intent on achieving what it calls energy dominance. With me is Antonia Yuhas. She's an energy analyst and author. Recently in the Los Angeles Times, she wrote about Trump's pursuit of energy. American energy dominance threatens the entire planet. Thanks for joining me, Antonia.
Thanks for having me. Good morning or good afternoon where you are.
Well, what do you think anyone has told Congress about climate change?
People have told Congress about climate change. And in fact, the vast majority of the American public, including now the majority of Republicans, not only are sure that climate change is a real phenomena, but are demanding action on the climate from their elected officials.
I know
that message hasn't gotten to Trump, apparently.
I noticed that the Natural Resources Committee in the House is going to hold the first congressional hearings on climate change in a decade, starting on Wednesday, February 6th. That's today.
Yeah, so this is a big issue, particularly for Democrats, is taking on climate change and using their power in the House in particular to do investigations and to take action on policy. And that is really being led from a drafting policy perspective by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and now being joined in the Senate by Senator Markey. And they're preparing to release as early as this week their resolution for a Green New Deal, shifting the United States to 100% renewable energy.
Well, what do you make of that attempt in light of the enthusiastic response that oil and natural gas development in the United States gets from a lot of members of Congress there? It seems, I mean, I know they've got 60 people signed up on the Green New Deal already, but it seems like most of them are cheering like crazy for oil.
Yeah, certainly there continues to be a very large constituency supporting the oil industry in the U.S. Congress and certainly in the administration with President Trump. So President Trump has fundamentally shifted U.S. policy orientation for fossil fuels, shifting from what has been since the 1970s a focus on achieving what was referred to as American energy independence, the idea of no longer being the U.S. being dependent on the imports of foreign sources of energy, to what Trump has now declared and is moving towards, which is what he calls American energy dominance. And that is an idea that the United States would be such a massive producer, particularly of oil, but also natural gas, also of coal, that we would become the dominant player and the swing producer in the world. And some within his administration see that as an attempt to supersede that role that Saudi Arabia currently holds and have the United States take it over. And that line got a lot of applause, as you say. The president then also said that declared that the United States was a net energy exporter, which is incorrect. And it's important to clarify this point. First, we're not a net exporter. That's, I think, based on a prediction that the Department of Energy recently released that by 2020, we might be a net energy exporter. But it's a misleading line in addition to being false, because I think it leads people to believe that that means we don't import foreign oil. And that's just not correct. Of foreign energy, the United States is actually increasing its imports of oil. It's increasing imports of natural gas. It's even still importing coal at the same time as we're significantly increasing our exports of all of those products too. Basically, under Trump, we are increasingly tying our economy to fossil fuels by producing more, by exporting more, and still importing significant quantities and actually having that on the uptick. So it's really a full dive into fossil fuels in every way possible that the administration is pursuing and in many ways achieving.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's always veiled with these terms that can mean anything to anybody. Energy independence or energy dominance can mean, you know, like a lot of renewable energy. A lot of people who like renewable energy probably hear energy independence and think, well, we're developing multiple sources of energy and we're going to achieve energy independence. Or it can mean to an oil man, we're going to drill like crazy and we are going to have more oil than ever. And it's all the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly the Trump administration's interest is definitely not of one in renewable energy. And I do think that part of the agenda has been to pursue this idea of American dominance. But I actually think that what the Trump administration is genuinely pursuing is wanting to maintain oil in particular and fossil fuels secondarily as the world's dominant energy source, to really stamp down upon the attempts to shift away from these fuels. And in that effort, Trump has aligned himself very clearly with the governments of Russia and the governments of Saudi Arabia to form a troika of governments that really debuted their desire to work together at the most recent climate negotiations in Poland, where those three nations joined together to to disinvite a critical report that the UN had looked at of what the implications would be of the rise in global temperatures going greater than 1.5 degrees Celsius per year above pre-industrial levels. And the UN had conducted this report and it showed a devastating impact of that rise and that we only had 12 years to stabilize the annual warming of the planet. And if we didn't, it would be far worse of the impacts we're currently seeing. And that includes, I would add, forced mass migration and immigration of people having to move and leave countries that are suffering the severe impacts of climate change. And the United States, Russia, and Saudi Arabia joined together to say, we don't even want to look at that. And they also joined together in really making this an incredibly unsuccessful coming together of parties at the United Nations and pushing the world back backwards in its efforts to try to take on climate change. And I believe that that is part of their goal of keeping us as a world committed to these fuels. And Trump is certainly doing the best that he can to keep the U.S. economy dependent on these fuels.
I'm talking with Antonia Juhas, an energy analyst and author, and we're talking about what's going on with fossil fuels and the United States. And just to underline the ideas about Russia there and what you were saying, I noticed that Russia was going, you know, it seems like the Saudis are floating an idea to bring Russia an associate membership in OPEC, and this would allow them in the door and allow the Saudis and Russia to really dominate in OPEC. The Iranians don't like it, of course, but that would be kind of along the lines of what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's really a really significant shift that happened because of this increase in U.S. production. And U.S. oil production has been increasing since the second Bush administration since 2000. There was a shift within the Obama administration in 2015 and 2016. There was a stabilization of production. And I believe that was the result of new regulations being put in place that started putting new restrictions on this industry. And that stabilization was completely shifted with the Trump administration, where production has increased dramatically. And because of that dramatic increase in production, the U.S., Russia, and Saudi Arabia, I think probably for the first time in, I don't know, maybe 60 years, 70 years, are producing more oil than all of the nations of OPEC combined, which means that these three countries really are the absolute dominant, particularly if they work together, the dominant power brokers on oil moving forward. And that really has potentially dramatic impacts for foreign policy decisions, particularly, as I said, with Trump so aligned in his activities with Russia and Saudi Arabia, and also for our potential continued use and dependence on these fuels moving forward when we should really be moving in the opposite direction.
I noticed that last night in the State of the Union address, two of the countries that were really bad guys were Iran and Venezuela. When you look at that, do you see any, is there any common theme there?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I will say, I will highlight the importance of oil in almost everything that I look at, but I will also always say that oil is almost never the only driver, particularly in foreign policy decisions, although it's something that we underappreciate at our own failure, because in Venezuela and in Iran, I would say, you know, key among the decisions of the U.S. government is oil interests and the role of oil in both of those countries. So going after making sure that U.S. oil companies have access to that oil, but also by denying the power that that oil gives to a government that we've decided we don't like for lots of reasons. And that's certainly the case in Iran, trying to deny the government of Iran the power of its oil. And the same is true right now for Venezuela. I believe that there are lots of issues that are at play with the desire to remove Maduro. But I think that this administration, particularly being led by John Bolton, is actively engaged in threatening to have troops go into Venezuela. And one of the key motivators is certainly regaining access to oil and control of that oil for U.S. oil companies in a way that has been lost dramatically, first under Chavez and then even more so under Maduro. And I think key looking at that is ExxonMobil. So ExxonMobil has discovered 5 billion barrels of oil, which is a lot of oil, in Guyana, which is in disputed area that Venezuela claims as its area and Guyana claims as its area. And Maduro sent warships to stop Exxon from going after that oil at the end of 2018. And Exxon would really like to get at that 5 billion barrels of oil, and it really needs a different government in Venezuela to do that. And the potentially now incoming new president of Venezuela has already stated that he will increase access to foreign oil companies to Venezuela's oil to reduce the nationalizations that took place. It's been reported that he partnered with the Trump administration in the decision to put in place U.S. sanctions on Venezuelan oil to try to force Maduro to leave office. So oil is definitely a piece of what's going on here. And, you know, it was the Bush administration's agenda all along after the invasion of Iraq, which I would certainly argue is one where oil played an enormous role, to go to Iran next. And having Bolton in the Trump administration is one of the reasons why our hostilities towards Iran have only increased, and the politics of oil are definitely at play there as well.
Well, you know, when you hear you talk about this, it sounds like the powerful oil interests all over the world are consolidating and getting more powerful and pursuing their interests almost without any breaks on the system. Is something like the Green New Deal got enough firepower to stop, you know, this enormous appetite and push of the oil consolidators?
I think the reason why you're seeing Russia, Saudi Arabia, and the United States coalesce, which are three countries that don't often see eye to eye on everything, is because they're under threat. So there is a global movement that is aggressively trying to move in the opposite direction, which is to shift to renewable energy, which is also to shift as well against plastics, which is one of the places where the oil industry sees its future, is in producing natural gas and oil to convert into the components that create, that are turned into plastic. And so to really shift away from these fuels in every sense to save our climate and to save our health and to create greater environmental justice as well. And because they're so under threat is the reason why they are coalescing. And I think that the Obama administration also scared, I think, the industry, oil industry, in a lot of ways. And with the Trump administration, there is this sense, I think, that the oil industry is like kids in the candy shop. Get everything they can now while they've got this administration in, because the next one might not be quite so friendly. And certainly the mood of the American public and the mood of the public globally is moving very strongly against fossil fuels. And I think the Green New Deal is an excellent example of a model. You know, the United States consumes an enormous amount of fossil fuels. We produce an enormous amount of CO2 and pollution. We drive international policy that stops progress being made on climate change, or we have with this administration. And the United States embracing something like the Green New Deal or the Green New Deal could not only be dramatic for the United States, but send a very strong message about what's possible for this transition, and to do it in a nation like the United States, where we don't have to be as dependent on fossil fuels as we are. Our economy doesn't need to be. And we have the capacity to switch without it being an enormous shock to our system, whereas other countries that are far more dependent on oil can't make that switch as easily. And it is beholden on a nation such as ours that has the resources, has the alternatives to make the switch possible, to start doing it, and to do it in a very thoughtful, managed way that looks at the impact on workers who work in this sector and communities that are dependent on it.
Antonia Yuhas is an energy analyst and author. Her recent article in the Los Angeles Times is "Trump's Pursuit of American Energy Dominance Threatens the Entire Planet." She is the author most recently of "Black Tide, the Devastating Impact of the Gulf Oil Spill." Thanks a lot for joining us, Antonia Yuhas, and talking about fossil fuels and last night's State of the Union.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Coming up after the break, we'll have Global Notes, our look at international music, and we'll talk with an artist who's shaking things up from Bronzeville. I'm Jerome McDonnell. You're listening to Worldview on WBEZ.